Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to UFO Think Tank with your host, Alejandro Rojas.
Hello, my friends. Hello, hello. Sorry about that. I thought I was talking to mute for a second. But this is Alejandro Rojas. So how's it going, everybody? We got a great show today. So you know how I've been telling you, this is something I'm just really excited about. So I'm just going to share it with you right off the bat. I talked a lot about examiners, like the UFO examiner. We've got Jeff Peckman, the Denver UFO examiner. I talk a lot about Roger Marsh, the national UFO examiner, because he puts up a lot of MUFON stories and a lot of great stories. In fact, I will be talking about some of his stories shortly. But I am happy to announce that yours truly is now the Denver Paranormal Science Examiner. So I applied to be the paranormal examiner. You know, actually, they came to me like a year ago and they wanted me to do the UFO thing, but I do a lot of UFO stuff. I thought, you know, what would be nice though is to kind of write about paranormal stuff because I do go out on paranormal adventures. I think I've shared that with you all before. So it'd be kind of cool to write about that. And I've got a lot of friends in that arena. So yeah, I started to write about it. So remember that, Denver Paranormal Science Examiner. Say it with me, Denver Paranormal Science Examiner. When you're walking around, you know, you could go around whispering that under your breath, Denver Paranormal Science Examiner. If someone looks at you funny because you're doing that, just yell it at the top of your lungs, Denver Paranormal Science Examiner, and then just run off booking. Just start running as fast as you can. They'll be so traumatized that they'll remember the Denver Paranormal Science Examiner, and they'll go and they'll look at my stories and they'll be educated. So if you could do that for me, that would be wonderful. Thank you all. So I'm real excited about that. What do I got going on there right now? Cattle mutilations. I talked about this before, how I had been doing some cattle mutilation investigation. We had three cattle mutilations happening within a couple-week period in March here in Colorado, and this is some strange stuff. So I am outlining the details of that in the stories where Denver Paranormal Science Examiner. So got some videos and things like that in there, just like a good buddy Dan reminded me here in the chat. And you know, there's some interesting stuff. We've got some university pathologists involved. The Humane Society was involved with these. So you're going to have to check these out. These stories are coming up in the details on just how these organizations were involved. So cool stuff. Got to check it out. Let's get into UFO news, though, because UFO Think Tank is about UFOs. We're focused on this subject because it is of utmost importance. And no one knows that more than our guest tonight, Michael Horn. He is going to tell you people, and don't get offended because he kind of puts it this way. He'll tell you you're a complete idiot if you don't agree with him. Hey, you know, some people feel that way. No, we'll talk to him in a minute. He's a very opinionated person. He is Billy Meier's official American representative. If you're not familiar with Billy Meier, pretty much the most famous UFO pictures ever. In fact, when I was a little kid, I remember, I think it was my dentist who had one of Billy Meier's pictures framed in his office, and I thought that was kind of cool. They're beautiful pictures he took in the 70s in Switzerland of UFOs, and it's pretty incredible. We'll talk about why they're incredible and why Mr. Horn is so adamant that it is the real deal. But let's get into some of the UFO news. It's funny, you know, I pulled up the UFO news stories and I was thinking, man, is there much that went on this week? And almost a page full of news that I had sent out in the last week. And, you know, on the Blog Talk front page, you can join my UFO think tank email list. Actually, you could go to Yahoo email groups, look up UFO think tank, and you could even Google UFO think tank and you'll find the link for it. And you can sign up to get these emails automatically, or you can go there to read some of these stories. They're also posted on my website at UFO think tank with the magic of RSS. Cool stuff. But what we got going on that I didn't tell you about last week? Area 51 has been in the news all over the place. Five former insiders speak out. They make it sound like these guys are kind of whistleblowers or telling us something exciting, but not really. The only thing they are telling us is that Area 51 exists because they actually work there, as if we didn't know that. But the government actually was denying the existence of Area 51 up until the Clinton administration, where they were sued because, you know, as moral as these defense contractors are, they decided, well, it's a secret base. We could do whatever we want. They were having employees go out and burn toxic waste. These employees then started dying and having, you know, a lot of bad effects. That's why it's illegal. You're not supposed to do it. These guys, literally, their skin was falling off their body. Other horrific events. And they weren't able to get any health care coverage. They weren't able to get help because they worked on a base that was secret and that officially did not exist. And these defense contractors were that evil that they would not help these people out. And it's just so rotten and awful. And you think, you know, why would these people hide giant secrets or why would they do this or that? They are capable of some pretty awful stuff. In the name of American security, national security, or is it possibly just to make money? What extents would they go to make money, defense contractors? Anyway, these guys coming out talking about working at Area 51, you know, pretty much tells us, yeah, Area 51 really is out there. I remember my sister's boyfriend at the time, years ago, he was so excited because he saw the unmarked vans that were taking employees to Area 51. Wow, that's real. It really exists. Well, no kidding. I already knew that. How many times do I have to tell you people? So they also came out talking about Project Oxcart, which really was them working on what's called an A-12, which is a precursor to the SR-71. And essentially is a jet that looks like the SR-71. Very fast-moving vehicle. However, just like the SR-71s, it moves in one direction very fast. Much different than what we hear from UFO reports or what most people have seen in UFO reports. So, yeah, Pastor Pat's in here. Our good old buddy, he's telling us that Area 51 is just a place for test planes. Maybe so, my friend. Maybe so. But anyways, you know, these aren't what people are reporting as UFOs. So, interesting story. ABC came out with a story just in the last couple of days. Fox News, I talked to them because they were actually going to have me on Fox News tomorrow morning or in the next couple of days, but I think that they're going to have someone else on instead, the actual people who worked at Area 51. I couldn't have said much anyways. I could have only said what Pastor Pat in his infinite wisdom was saying here, that we can't be for sure that they're not just test planes out there. The New Jersey hoaxers, I think I told you about these guys where they had hoaxed a UFO where they tied some balloons together, launched them, they had flares attached to them. A lot of people thought they were UFOs. The UFO Hunters featured this on their TV show. They thought they were UFOs. MUFON, got to get up a little earlier in the morning to trick us people. No, we have a great researcher, investigator, Kristen Winslet, who went out there and investigated it. Her and our experts said, you know what, those are flares on balloons probably, and that's what they turned out to be. Well, Mr. Tricky Smart Hoaxsters, you think you're so smart? They actually got booked. They were fined, and they had to do community service because you can't float flares in the sky. What if a helicopter ran into them? What if those balloons popped and those flares landed on someone's house and started it on fire? So these are things that you're not supposed to do. So they got in a lot of trouble over that, and I think we even got to be of service there, which is kind of neat. Because first of all, these hoaxes, and we'll talk about this with Billy Meyer, you know, why, what are you trying to prove, that these things can be hoaxed? We know that. You know what, you could sit in your basement with your Photoshop and hoax something that would be very convincing. Thank you very much. You're proving something that everybody already knows. These things can be hoaxed. The issue is that there's many times where it's apparent that these things aren't hoaxed, with multiple witnesses, with credible witnesses, with a lot of science that's done to prove that these things aren't hoaxes. China. We've also got a story of China hiding a UFO story. A bunch of photos that were supposedly taken by some villagers in China and how the Chinese government tried to suppress that story. So that's pretty interesting. Edgar Mitchell is going to be on NBC News talking about UFOs. He does this a lot. He got a lot of news last summer talking about UFOs. Also, like I talked about, the UFO Examiner has a lot of interesting stuff to say. He's got low-flying cylinders flying over Pennsylvania, some interesting pictures. All of these are case files. That's what's so great about the National UFO Examiner. He posts a lot of case files from the MUFON files, and they are raw case files. This is what the witness said they saw. Here are the pictures and or video that they submitted prior to the investigations being done. And then he is, as he gets the information, posting the results of those investigations. So some interesting stuff there. Also, we talked a little bit ago about the New Jersey UFO hoax. Well, somebody caught up with Dan Aykroyd, and it's kind of neat. They posted this video, what Dan Aykroyd has to say about the New Jersey UFO hoax. And actually, he's signing this vodka called Crystal Skull, which comes in a bottle that looks like a crystal skull, and he owns this company, I guess. He's signing these bottles for some kind of promotion for this vodka, and these guys came in with their video to say hi and stuff, and when they got their chance to talk to him, they asked about the New Jersey UFOs, and it was kind of cool because he said, you know what, this kind of thing's kind of neat once in a while because it brings attention to the real cases, and they seem kind of shocked. They're like, what do you mean? And he talks about, well, the real UFO cases. I've seen UFOs. They're out there. Most people believe in UFOs, and he goes on that. He doesn't talk to them for too long, but it is kind of a cool video with Dan Aykroyd there. So that's catching you up to speed on what's going on in UFO news. Don't forget Denver Paranormal Science Examiner. You can do it, people. But right now, let us get Mr. Michael Horn on the phone, on the horn, because he is going to be a lot of fun to talk to. And I've actually got to dial him up here. Luckily, I have that technology. So we just kind of push this button and then push this one, and hopefully he'll come up. I'll kind of sing to you guys while we say good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
Hello, the number you have reached is being nervous at this time. Hi there.
Hello?
Alejandro?
Yes, it is. It told me this number is being nervous?
Yeah, it's okay. I calmed it down.
Okay, good. You're able to get it under control. Great. It's good to talk to you, Mr. Horn.
Thank you. Only my parents were allowed to call me Mr. Horn.
Okay. Well, then I'll stick to Michael.
Thank you.
So we've talked to the guests about a little bit about what we're going to be talking today and about Billy Meier. And essentially, maybe to start off, could you give us some insight about how you found out about the Billy Meier case, and then how you came to be his official representative?
Sure. In 1979, I walked into a bookstore in the Los Angeles area called the Bodhi Tree, and there on one of the shelves in prominent display was the first photo album book published by, I think, Genesis to me and Britt Elders, and it was primarily comprised of many of Meier's stunning, clear UFO photos, as well as some text and information about what was at the time the ongoing investigation of the case. When I looked at the photos, I just knew at that time that they were real. Of course, in the 30 years since then, I have other reason to conclude that they're real. But at that point, I said, well, it looks like the real thing to me. So I bought the book, took it home, and that started the process for me of familiarizing myself with the Meier case. It was about 9 years later, probably 7 years later in 1986, I met a guy in a little cafe in Sedona, Arizona, who was a retired IRS agent, and his name was Ralph Amagran, and we got to talking about, all this phenomenon of UFOs, and the Meier case came up, and he said to me that when I got back to L.A., and he lived in the greater L.A. area in Malibu, I should come visit him, and he'd give me the contact notes, the transcripts, hundreds and hundreds of pages of the conversations that Meier was having with these people, these extraterrestrials, and I did that, and I didn't see Ralph too many times after that, except some years later, he changed his name to Alex Collier, and he claimed he was a quote-unquote lifelong Andromeda UFO contactee, and I had a good laugh about that. And then I was making presentations myself on the Meier case starting about 1987 or 88. A guy named Randy Winters and I had co-produced one of the videos called The Pleiadian Connection, which is still in circulation. And then in the year 2000, I went to Switzerland for the first time to meet Meier and other people, witnesses, family members. And I've been over there 10 times since. I'll be there again this year for my 11th visit. And it was about 4 years ago that I actually asked him if I could officially represent them, and that would be in this fashion, that I would present their information to the best of my ability the way they published it, what they wanted to have said, providing I could still maintain my own opinion and feel free to disagree if I did, and to write, pro and con information, and that they wouldn't pay me for this so that there was no conflict of interest. And so we agreed on all that, and for these many years now I've been doing that as his authorized American media representative, and representing him also more broadly in the English-speaking world.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a very, very, especially lately, it seems like, the whole Billy Meier case seems to be a very heated discussion among UFO people, and you get the brunt of that. How do you deal with that?
Well, I kind of enjoy it, to tell you the truth. I don't take any of it personally, believe it or not, and of course, Meier has been attacked, and there have been 21 assassination attempts in his life in addition to all the verbal attack on him. And I get plenty of attack from skeptics. But what I did in 2001 is I invited, that is challenged, the top professional skeptics organization known as Center for Inquiry West, which is now also associated with the Independent Investigations Group, so it's CFI West IIG, both of which are associated with James Randi. I challenged them to back up their statement that the Meier evidence, the Meier case, was, quote-unquote, an easily duplicated hoax. And I said, look, Meier's taken hundreds of photos, there's films, videos, metal samples, sound recordings. Do me a favor, if you really want to stand behind your claim, duplicate just one of his photos and one of his films. And they accepted that challenge over 8 years ago. And I might say that they have completely failed to be able to do it, of course. It isn't surprising, and I even gave their current top representative airtime in our film, The Silent Revolution of Truth, so that he could make his best case against the Meyer case. We have a whole section in the special features where he gets a chance to say things, and I do some mild rebuttals. I saved most of my rebuttal for after he signed off on the film, and I've basically nailed them pretty good on my website. There's absolutely nothing left to the skeptical challenge. Now, I don't mind people wanting to bring it up or question it. I don't think there's anything that is so precious that you can't, challenge it. But I think we've been able to show that the skeptical challenge is really dead in the water, with good reason. You can't duplicate with fake means the same quality that Meyer accomplished with his pre-computer, pre-technology photographs and films and video and stuff. So I don't get ruffled at all by the skeptical challenges. I think that they're actually quite important, because if people are going to want to find truth, and that should be the number one thing for everybody, you have to put everything to the test. And believe me, I am, as you may know, I liberally criticize just about every claimed contactee out there, because not one of them, to the best of my knowledge, can put anything even remotely comparable to Meyer's, evidence on the table. And, that's another thing if you want to get into it, but I'm happy to keep the focus on whatever you want, the Meyer case and its authenticity, its relevance.
Mm-hmm. I want to start off with some of that, and then I do want to get into the others, because I would like to hear your thoughts on some of those other contactees. But just for a little background for our audience, just in case someone doesn't know about Meyer, they can go to your website, dayfly.com, and you have a photo gallery. And Meyer took a lot of these pictures in the 70s, and he's a one-armed fellow, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, he took something like 1,200 or so shots, and we only have a relatively small number posted, but people can see them. These were taken before home computer, before Photoshop, before the ease of getting digital effects and software and what have you. And there's five other people that have also taken photographs of these same crafts, including one skeptic who, in I think the year 2000, sent Meyer a couple photos. He apologizing to Meyer for calling him a fake. He said, "I was out one day taking pictures in my field here, and I looked up over your property, and this is what I saw in the sky. Please don't publish my name. My wife will kill me. She thinks you're the devil, but here's the photograph, so I owe you an apology," that kind of thing.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah, and then I got to mention the DVD, how Billy Meyer lost his arm, and some of his extremely interesting background could be seen on the DVD, which just came out last year.
Yeah, actually, where are we now? Yeah, it came out last year. It's called The Silent Revolution of Truth. And I will tell you this, that as a courtesy to your listeners, anybody that orders that film, The Silent Revolution of Truth, if they put the word free in their order, we'll send them a free $25 CD with 120 excerpts of translations of Meyer's that aren't otherwise out in publication. And that's all they have to do is remember to put the word free in there, and they get, for a $20 film, they get an additional $25 CD. So we do want people to know about the information, and we'll give some away. What the heck?
And I really, skeptics, everybody out there, I think the film was beautifully made. Luckily, the first time I saw it, I got to be sitting next to you at the International UFO Congress. And it is an excellent DVD. I've been recommending it to a lot of people, and I know quite a few have been picking it up, and I haven't heard anything negative from that. So it is a great DVD, a great film.
Thank you. We do get to hear him tell his story quite a bit of it.
Now, how did you feel? Was Meyer's the first contactee or that you had come across?
Well, I guess you could say that. What happened was, ever since I was a kid, and I'm, older than most of the people in your audience, I was growing up in the 40s and 50s with space heroes on TV, and I was having dreams of lights in the sky and disks that rotated, before I knew anything really about flying saucers, which was, the common term back then. And I think I had read some books that, you know, claims by Howard Menger, and there may have been another guy, and there was mention of Adamski. I never really got much into Adamski. I saw little stuff. But most of these books and claims, you know, they were very anecdotal, and Valiant Thor and Contacts from Venus and stuff like that. So what are you going to do with it? There was really no evidence to get involved with it. And the Meyer case, the more I was exposed to the actual evidence, the more compelling it became, and frankly, the more overwhelming in a certain way. Because let's face it, if the case, you know, I always say there's only two possibilities. It's either the biggest, most impenetrable hoax, or it's the most important story in all of human history. If it's the most important story in human history, it's the most suppressed story in human history. And you know, I'm very passionate about trying to push some of this open, and especially in the thinking in the UFO community. I'm quite critical of a lot of what goes down in the UFO community. I'm sure you know that. And again, I never am intending to be personally offensive, but it kind of comes in the category, if we're going to talk about these things, folks, I, for one, don't know why everyone in the UFO community isn't talking about, isn't really vetting this case, isn't really going through it with a fine-tooth comb. So that's where, you know, my passion gets stirred up, especially when people say, oh, well, that's a fake. And I go, oh, my goodness, you know, would you go ahead, duplicate it, and show us what a fake it is. And it's every single time. There's just, you know, the claims that against it fall flat over and over. There's one British skeptic, to his credit, he tried to duplicate Meyer's films. And I have his, you know, I've got a link to his evidence on my page. I have nothing against people wanting to show that this has got to be a hoax. So go ahead, take your best shot. If you've got something good, I'll post it. And he actually comes around, and we've got his email there, and he basically says, you know, I'm sorry, I can't do this. It's like, you know, it's beyond me. And I'm, you know, I'm a 21st century guy with two arms. So there's a lot here, and I often feel that the best approach when I'm talking to people is that they do come at the case, that they do challenge any and everything they can think of and what I say and all, because I can either point them to what I think is good evidence and substantiation, or I can't, and that's going to, you know, help people to find their way to the truth.
Right. Speaking of evidence, there's someone in the chat room who, Dennis, who wanted to ask about metals and yes, some metals that have been found in that sort of evidence.
Yeah. He may be speaking about the what are called the metal samples that were given to Meyer. We'll just say once here, allegedly, you know, because in fact, I've oftentimes repeated that word too many times, but just say allegedly this is what occurred. So Meyer was given these metal samples, and he turned them over to Wendell Stevens. This is back probably about 78 to 80, somewhere in there. And Wendell Stevens turned them over to Marcel Vogel, who was a scientist at IBM and a genius. I mean, people read, we've got a list of some of the patents that Marcel Vogel either held solely or co-held with other people. And he was quite a remarkable erudite fellow who, at the age of 10, had synthesized the chemicals that create bioluminescence in fireflies when he was 10 years old. So he wasn't exactly a slouch. And he did an analysis of a couple of the pieces of metal that he videotaped. And the video was, you know, put out by Genesis 2 back in, I think, 1980 or so. And basically what he says, and we have part of this in the film, he says, you know, with any technology available to me as a scientist, I cannot make these metals. And not only couldn't he put them together the way the metals were, you know, assembled, that is, he claimed that they had virtually every element in the periodic table, but instead of them being simply in an incomprehensible, you know, blob mushed together, each of these elements was in a discrete form and could be detected. And on top of that, there was micro machining that appeared when we started to increase the magnification of the samples, 500x, 1500, et cetera. And he said, this is evidence of a mechanical process. There's even, not only is this metal, but there's crystalline structures within the metal. And he said, you know, this is not something I can do. So people, of course, said, well, where's, you know, why doesn't Meyer submit the samples again for analysis? And I'll tell you now, I haven't said it a lot, but, you know, they still have metal samples in Switzerland. And the attitude there is kind of like this. Look, after all this time, with all of the evidence that's been put out, with all the people that have looked at the evidence, that have examined it, that have tried to duplicate it, everything else, plus with all of the specific, prophetically accurate information spanning nearly 60 years that Meyer has published well in advance, sometimes decades before events would occur, specifics. He publishes it. If people don't get it by now, trying to prove it again with more metals is not going to happen. And there's another reason, and that is most of the scientists do not want to stick themselves into the middle of a UFO case with alleged evidence. And even if a scientist came up with the same conclusion, I can't make this myself, the next question that comes from the so-called scientific community is this one that basically stops the argument. So, Professor so-and-so, are you now willing to say that therefore you will claim that these were manufactured by extraterrestrials? No scientist is going to be able to say that because he can't conclusively. It simply should be enough when you get a guy of Marcel Vogel's stature, who was a great guy, who films, videotapes his examination, points it all out and says, I can't make it, here's why, here's what it looks like. And you realize this has come from a one-armed farmer in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, what are we doing with our brains? And that's the big question.
Yeah.
So nothing, for Dennis or whoever you asked that question there, I hope that that's worth thinking about. And there's free information on my website. There's a scientific, I think there's comments from scientific experts or something like that, where Vogel's comments are there, and other scientists, including one that I know named David Froning, who came and spoke at one of my presentations to attest to the remarkable quality of the information in the market. And this guy's an astrophysicist who had 25, 40 years by now of experience in top-secret defense industry astrophysics. So those people are there who've touched into the Meyer case, and it's there, folks.
Yeah, in fact, Dennis was saying he hadn't heard anybody challenge the results of the findings on that metal.
Yeah, I mean, and people may want to say, well, Marcel Vogel wasn't this, and he later got into crystal stuff. Marcel Vogel was a genius. I think he created the magnetic coating for floppy drives. He did get into a lot of crystal work later on, and why not? Crystals aren't just, quote-unquote, silly New Age stuff. This was a scientist who was working and developing applications with crystals, and, heck, they're good enough for a lot of technology, and he was finding the applications. But he's right. There was really no effective challenge to Vogel's analysis.
Yeah, and personally, that's one thing. With me, I keep an open mind with this case because I haven't seen anybody accurately produce Billy Meyer's pictures either using his technology. You hear a lot of people, and we hear this all the time now, especially from people who feel that they're really good at special effects and Photoshop, that, oh, I can do that. Well, then do it. Oh, I don't want to spend all that time and do that. Well, then you can't prove to me that you can do it. And there's I can do that.
You're right. You're right. And as I say in the film, I personally took Meyer's photos and films to two gentlemen who own a company called Uncharted Territory. And Uncharted Territory is the Academy Award-winning special effects company that did all the special effects for Independence Day. Mm-hmm. Plenty of UFOs flying around in there. And I showed them the film, and I said, the skeptics say this is a model. I barely got the word model out, and they laughed. I'll never forget. And they said, wait a minute. We know models. Those are not models. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, that's nice. I said, can you duplicate this? And he said, well, if we could, we have to go to CGI to do it. Now, this really irritated the skeptic who we have, in our special feature section, this guy Derek Bartholomew. So he contacted them to try to get them to retract that statement because Bartholomew had to retract his own claim that he made in the film that Meyer used model trees and model UFOs because he can't produce a model tree, a miniature tree, anything that even looks remotely like the trees in Meyer's films and photos, and he couldn't produce one photo of a UFO model next to a model tree. So he had to retract it. I've got that on my website. But then he goes to the Uncharted Territory people, and he tries to get them to retract their statement, and it gets worse for him because they say, well, we don't know what it is, but if this guy was going to hoax that, he would need a crane and wires, and not only would it be hard, it'd probably be impossible. So the skeptics really stuck their feet, the rest of themselves into the mud here, because in trying to debunk Meyer and trying to get people to retract it, they really brought out more substantiation. If the guys from Independence Day Special Effects tell you that those aren't models, will people please wake up again?
Mm-hmm.
What are they? They're certainly not special effects either. So what are we looking at here?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I've got a lot of questions and some other interesting topics to talk about, but we do have, it looks like we have a caller on the line, so let's check this out. Is there a caller on the line?
Yes. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to say, tell Michael Horn, I personally really appreciate the work he's been doing. I investigated Billy Meyer myself extensively back in the 80s. I was looking for proof that UFOs were from the Earth rather than from outer space anywhere. And I talked to Colonel Stevens, and he explained to me how come the UFO community refuses to accept Billy Meyer. And what he explained to me at that time was that when he brought the samples back, he wanted to carry them personally to a scientist outside the field of UFO. And the MUFON crowd wanted him to give them to them. And because he carried it directly to Vogel and the photographs to people outside the UFO community, they were hollering fraud and fake even before the research was put forth. So the findings have never really been studied, and the way the metal is put together, some type of cold fusion, we haven't even discovered yet. I just wanted to mainly just thank Michael for that and add a little bit that I knew to it.
Great, thank you.
I appreciate that too. What he's telling all.
Yeah, you're doing good work, Michael. Like I said, I've been behind Billy Meyer forever. I don't understand why more people. Well, I do understand, and we all do. But I'll get off and let you talk. I just wanted to thank you, buddy. Okay.
All right.
Bye, thank you. Yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah, and I can see that. It gets difficult. Everybody wants to be really careful with what they call real evidence, and they want to be able to look at it themselves. So
But Alejandro, if only they would carry that same standard for every so-called claimed UFO contactee, I think the room would empty pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get into, I want to touch on that some more, because there are some other contactees I think that might be have some interesting evidence, but first, I want to get into that contactee area, especially around the prophecies that Billy Meyer. First, I guess I'd like to understand a little more around that. He met the pilots of these ships and was able to go on board and spoke with them.
Still does.
And then, so how did that work? And where did the prophecies come in?
Okay, Meyer said that his meetings with these people started when he was merely a five-year-old boy back in 1942, and that they do continue to this day. There are still transcripts that are in German, that some of which, when we're lucky, we get somebody who's competent to translate them and put them out, and I post them, and other people who are affiliated with the information will post them on their sites. I'll try to explain it as best I can, and it gets into a lot of areas, and a lot of it you have to, in all fairness, let's just say that this is a speculative area, okay? Because unless you can hard prove something, we can prove that the prophecies were printed or written or released at certain times in most cases. Some cases, we're not so sure that we have a copy or a document to prove it, but there's a lot here that just keeps on validating it. And Meyer was trained from a very young age to be able to receive telepathically specific symbols that would be the form of communication that he would have telepathically with these people. They, when they met, would speak to him, at least several of the main ones, not everyone. They would speak to him in German, either High German or Swiss German, and he could understand them, and they could understand him. However, when the telepathic contacts would take place, they would generally reach him with these symbols, these pictures. He learned several million symbols, and the purpose for this was that after he would have a contact, a physical contact, meeting with these people, either in a natural environment, in a forest, a meadow, or if they beam him up into their ship, or even in, nowadays they come into his office in his home, and they've been seen there by other people too. It's kind of comical. After they do have these contacts, they would then take the recording of it, because obviously they would have some form of recording device. But what's kind of neat is they have another device that sends back the kind of word-for-word contact to him in these symbols. He receives them telepathically and simultaneously translates and types them out in German. And it's a very elaborate thing because, for the most part, every time there's a contact that's transcribed, every sentence spoken by the ET person or persons has to be numbered so that years from now or years from whenever a contact is first transcribed, the numbered sentence will be the same in all the languages that it's been translated into, and it will show that it was not falsified later on, that it'll be very easy to go to any particular specific sentence and find that it was indeed published at such and such a time prior to information being officially discovered. Well, as far as the prophecies go, there's a couple things here. In some cases, they have given him literally prophecies, and prophecies that have been in existence in some cases for thousands of years, of which they are kind of the official keepers, that this material has been in their possession for thousands of years, and he is simply the latest in a series of seven specific prophets who is to bring this information into our world for humanity to, you know, find and go through. In some cases, in conversational interactions, they will tell him about events or discoveries, what have you, that have not yet occurred. And it'll be that they'll say, well, by the way, on December 13th of this year, there will be a volcanic eruption in the area of, China, such and such a place, 213 people will die. You know, they will give him specifics, and it will be in advance of, their meeting with him. And sometimes the information they'll give will be even farther in advance. As I said, some of this information will be decades in advance. Other times they will tell him information and not give the date, because for us to know of a specific event that will have to happen with certainty would be very imbalancing to us. So maybe at this point I explain there's a difference between prophecies and predictions. Prophecies pertain to events that will likely occur based on the laws of cause and effect, based on what event, what causes have been set in motion up until this time. Prophecies are often changeable if human beings act in time to change the course of events. If we don't act in time, those prophecies can become predictions, meaning they've passed the point of no return. Other predictions that aren't necessarily affected by humans have to do with either cosmic or geophysical events that we have not contributed to in some way, shape, or form. In terms of the Earth, such as Earth changes and earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, there are some that are independent of human activity, but more and more now, such as the global warming that Meyer first wrote about in 1958, are largely due to human activity.
Mm-hmm.
So to try to come back to answer your question, Meyer also has the ability himself through a couple of different means to ascertain certain future events. So he has the ability to bring forth prophecies and or predictions himself.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen he types these all out with one hand, right? And he's very fast.
Yeah, about 60 words a minute or more. Yeah,
yeah, that's
pretty amazing.
Incredible. So which of these prophecies have come true? How many? Because I know you talked about how compelling that is as evidence as well.
Sure. Well, we could, and this can all be found on my website for free, people that want to check that out. But for instance, in 1958, he predicted two U.S. wars with Iraq. The second one would be led by a president who would be the son of a former president. He predicted AIDS by name, AIDS. He predicted that people would carry telephones on them, that they would be portable telephones. He predicted that we would transact using plastic credit cards, that there would be an epidemic, a meth epidemic as well. He predicted that every home would have televisions and computers that would be, quote-unquote, interlinked electronically around the world. He predicted the dates of various rocket launches by the Russia and the U.S. He also said the first U.S. rocket landing on the moon didn't happen, but that five subsequent ones did. He predicted dozens of things. He published information in October of 1978 pertaining to Europa, the moon of Jupiter being covered in ice, and to the fact that Io, another moon of Jupiter, was the most volcanically active body in the solar system, and that Jupiter had rings like Saturn. Well, 5 months later, when NASA confirmed that Europa was covered in ice and that Jupiter had rings, they also said that the most important discovery of the Voyager mission was that Io was the most volcanically active body in the solar system. There's literally dozens, if not hundreds, of specific things that Meyer has foretold and that have been in publication prior to the events occurring.
Mm-hmm.
Two planets beyond Pluto. He first published that in that 1958 letter. Again, he told Wendell Stevens of it in 1978. It's published in a book that we even have available as e-books. It's published first, I think, in 1980 by Stevens in the books. And he says in there that Meyer tells him that two planets beyond Pluto will be discovered after the new millennium, which occurred, of course. But at that time, we were sure that there were no planets beyond Pluto. And it goes on and on in so many different fields. So while people like to say, well, anybody could have predicted this or that, the fact of the matter is that I don't know of anybody who predicted, let alone who predicted all of it, and so accurately. And we haven't found any inaccurate predictions. We found that there are things foretold that either haven't happened or may not happen, but that doesn't make them wrong or right yet. Everything where we can correlate these hits, the details are correct down to the last, jot. And Meyer was the first one to publish them. See, if I may say this, the UFO community, to use that term, is fascinated with UFOs and extraterrestrials. But my feeling is we've got to kind of ask ourselves some hard questions. Why? What do we care about UFOs and ETs for, assuming they exist and we can find out they exist? Isn't the bottom line here that there has to be a reason that we could have sightings or any evidence of it, that there's a purpose rather than just to have light shows for people on Earth? Well, to me, the Meyer case, the reason I can stand behind it 100% is because it contains the reasons. And the reasons are to help us assure our future survival. Now, how they do that is to, in a very clever way, in my opinion, to establish an impeccable foundation of credible evidence, basically through this, what I'm calling prophetically accurate information, because you can say that people are always going to be throwing, the argument, oh, well, the photos look too good to be true, or they can't be real, and they get lost in that. How do you account for 58, almost 60 years of specific prophetically accurate information published by one man living in the boonies in Switzerland, and all of it trying to awaken humankind to events that are now upon us, literally, that are going to bring us devastating results? And there's still time for some kind of remedy, but some of these things are now impossible to reverse because people have deliberately fought against and tried to discredit this case and suppress it and keep it from not only Americans, but from people all over the world.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk some more about those, but we do have someone else on the line, so let's
sure. See
if we can get to that person. Hello there. Is there a caller?
Hello?
Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, thanks for waiting so long.
Hey, no problem.
But did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask if he ever made any predictions about a mass landing or a mass arrival of ETs, and also what are his thoughts on 2012?
Sure. I'll just take it in the order you asked it. The position of the Meyer case is that there is not going to be any kind of mass landing, mass arrival. There was the possibility of a contact about 10 years ago, but it was called off when they were looking at the developments on Earth. The contact was going to take place here in America, but and it was another race that was coming for that purpose, and they were warned off of it by these Pleiaren extraterrestrials. And the reason for it is pretty obvious. It's this. We cannot get along with people in our own neighborhoods, cities, states, countries, internationally. We are at war in 167 places on the globe, usually. For an advanced race that has settled into, let's just say, being unified and basically peaceful, that focuses on being able to travel in space and explore the universe and discover the mysteries of life, to step onto a mess like this, there's no benefit to them. And people have to have some self-interest for doing things. They know that it would only confuse everything. It would take our focus off of solving our own problems. It would terrify many, many people who are not as open-minded as the caller and you, Alejandro, and I, and other listeners. It would cause people suicides. There'd be psychosis. There'd be attacks. Other people would form these quick cults. They would venerate them as gods. They would again turn over their power. It would be a terrible disaster at this stage historically. And so I especially take to task and have a big issue with the people in largely the so-called exopolitics movement who keep talking about these so-called benevolent ETs walking among us and coming to interact with us and all of this stuff. There is zero evidence. All the evidence is to the contrary, that any intelligent beings would step into this mess at this stage of our history defies logic. And I'll take it one step further after I answer the next question he asked about 2012. What Meyer has said is that right before 2012 will be 2011, right after 2012 will be 2013 and 2014. Basically what they're saying is this. The Mayan people, and I do have an article on my website, you might want to read about it. The history of the Mayan is a bit different than we know it. From the Pleiaren explained quite a bit about their history, their plight, their troubles that they had gone through twice, at least in their history, tremendous droughts and famines. They had to resort to cannibalism. They didn't get around to making their next calendar because they basically went extinct. Those that could survive had to migrate away. Many died from drought and famine and wars and what have you. So the bandwagon that people jumped on with 2012, setting up another future point to get hysterical about, is a terrible disservice to us. We have on our plate on this planet right now, moment by moment, day by day, et cetera, all that we can handle to try to rebalance and get control over our lives. As many terrestrial forces are in play to take control of your life, my life, and to dominate, domineer, biochip people, start wars, et cetera, we've got to get away from this outward fascination. This universe may well be, as we hear in this case, populated by countless millions, if not billions, of races of humans and others at different levels of evolution, all on their own course of, you know, progress and growth, just like we are. And we've got to focus on us and getting it together. Probably the most fertile area for disinformation by government and intelligence forces is this UFO area, because at least according to Meyer case, most, not all, but most of what we see in the skies is secret government craft and secret craft from a number of different countries and parties. So this is why, as I said before, with the exopolitics approach, I happen to have talked to Stephen Bassett a month and a half or so ago. There was an expo here in L.A., and I have over the years pleaded with him to allow presentation of the Meyer case at these X conferences, and he's always refused and rejected and tells me, well, it's not the time for it. And I said, Stephen, you have all these people, you know, that you keep parading out there, and the result is basically nothing. The government enjoys people carrying on about Roswell and everything because there's no evidence. You can't pin anything on them, and they can play with you forever. Well, April's going to be it. They're going to really have to reveal everything now, you know, like, yeah. And the thing is, pardon me, people's egos and agendas get in the way of the truth. If the Meyer case, if it really is the best evidence of extraterrestrial contact, ongoing contact with information vital to every living creature on the planet, it's irresponsible of people to not bring that to conferences, to radio shows. I mean, you know, Alejandro, you know I'm not all that popular in certain areas. I speak my mind these things. But I'm not trying to offend people. I'm trying to say, wait a minute. Effectively, the people in exopolitics and ex-conference and this, all these other exes, they're trying to tell me that the best evidence of the world is equal to no evidence. I mean, how else do you read the message? I've offered Stephen Greer the Meyer case. I said, here, you take it. You've got your disclosure project. Instead of parading all these people who are courageously coming forward as whistleblowers but who get dismissed nonetheless because there's no hard evidence, here's the Meyer case. You've got all the evidence in the world. Well, you know, he didn't want to get involved with it. So I said to Stephen Bass, I said, look, maybe you find my personality grating, so take the Meyer case and you present it. I don't care. This is for humanity. What's wrong here? But everybody's got an agenda that seems, in my humble opinion, to supersede the importance of the very thing they all claim to want, which is evidence of extraterrestrial contact. If it's truly been going on for 67 years and we can really prove it, what on earth or in outer space are all of the UFO community people waiting for? So that's where my frustration comes in.
Wouldn't you say the message really more is what you said earlier of how, you know, we have, you know, hundreds of wars going on, and basically wouldn't the ultimate message be, you know, peace and love? Not to, you know, not to sound, I guess,
sure,
cheesy, but
sure.
Isn't that really the message?
No. Yes, but even in the Meyer case, while that's the, you know, the core, I mean, that's the core of life as far as the, you know, the more evolved people from outer space or on Earth get it, you know. But they also have mechanisms, specific things that they have put out in advice for how to get to this place and how, because it's one thing to say peace and love, don't destroy your planet. We don't need extraterrestrials to tell us that. You know, ET, go home. We don't need you. They, you know, they're here for very specific reasons. They want that message to get across, and they've tried to insert information to tell us to go out, how to go about doing it. And you would think that all the exopolitics people and the UFO community and MUFON and everybody and their brother and sister would want to get that, run that stuff up the flagpole as quickly as possible. But they're focused on lights in the sky and this sighting of something. For all they know, it's a CIA. For all they know, it's a group out of China. For all they know, it's the French. What are we doing chasing phenomenon when we're in this damn deep hole we're in as humanity?
Right. Well, thanks, caller, for the questions. And I want to get into some of that. So, for instance, you mentioned Roswell. What's your perspective on that?
Well, when I was in high school, back in about 1957 to 58, I'll never forget it because I know exactly where I was standing in the school at the time. A young kid and I were talking, and he said, well, you know, my dad's in the Air Force, and they found a crashed flying saucer in these bodies. And they took it to an Air Force base in Ohio, which I later found out was Wright-Patterson. I never forgot that. So I knew in the 50s that there had been a crash, and that was the Roswell crash. And even in the Meyer case, what they say, well, yes, Roswell happened, and not only Roswell, there's about 8 or 9 crashes around the world where there was retrieval of craft and some of these bodies and perhaps some living entities. But what they said, you have to understand, in no case did they have extraterrestrial beings. They had androids. These were the biological androids that were piloting these ships that were sent by different civilizations under reconnaissance. They've never captured, you know, what we would consider to be an extraterrestrial human being. But these things occurred. The problem is, it's like once people start talking Roswell, it's the same thing as taking a nail your shoe to the floor and just walk around in a circle because you can't get anywhere from here. You're going to come back on the circle. We can claim that this technology, reverse engineering and Area 51 and all this, but when you say, well, where's the proof? Well, the government's hiding it, but we're going to have the X conference and force them to reveal it. Yawn. We can't get even a president who said he wants to get us out of Iraq, who's now committing more soldiers for Afghanistan. I mean, people understand Big Brother ain't going to help you. This is why this Meyer case exists, because the core of this case, at the very center, they say every human being must learn that they are completely, solely, 100% accountable and self-responsible for every thought, every feeling, and every action. And therefore, they only have the greatest power when they take complete responsibility. And that means if you are going to elect leaders, take responsibility for electing the best possible ones. Many people would think we've elected the best possible person, certainly probably the brightest and seemingly most ethical person. It remains to be seen if he will be able, even if he is that good a person, and I have a lot of opposition to certain things that he's doing, but let's just say he was the best hope. He has to survive those who mean him ill, and there's plenty of those out there. So he also has to have a lot of cooperation. He's not the one necessarily running everything, contrary to opinion. So when this comes back to the core of this case, they are telling us it's up to you, the power in your thought, the power in your feeling and action. That's why Meyer had said to me a few years ago, because I was teaching a workshop in something I call Standing in Spirit before I was even, representing the Meyer case, and I said to them, look, if you don't think this is compatible with my representation, I'll keep this on a separate website. But they said, no, you should teach this to everybody at the end of the lectures, because this is what we're talking about. When people learn to know how to think and when they can start to understand themselves better, they could take their power back and redirect all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes that commitment. It's not glamorous. What we have to do as human beings, this is why it doesn't appeal to, the many of the conference people and the UFO people that want to run around talking about extraterrestrials, because it's very dry. We have to come back to the nitty-gritty, to each one of us. Now, we can do that together, too, and we can make it quite interesting in the way then we take responsibility to communicate and co-create, but this is not going to come from outside of us. If these people exist, let's say these extraterrestrials that Meyer claims to be in touch with, they could have proved their existence 60 years ago, easily more, and appeared over the, every capital on the earth and drive everybody nuts in the process. But they know that that won't help us. So they told us the way human beings everywhere in the universe have to do certain things, and this is how you have to do them too. If you want to dig yourself out of the hole that you've created, don't expect anybody to come along, no mass landings, no exopolitical interactions with emissaries who appoint themselves in your world, like our friends Michael Sala and Alfred Weber, who all think that they are the people that are going to greet the ETs. The ETs have chosen the people or the person that they want to talk to, and that's how it's going to be, and they're going to be meeting with us. So we better get on with the business at hand and saving our sorry butts from what we've allowed to happen in our name.
So a couple of questions there related to that. One person in the chat who was kicked out, it looks like he's back, thank goodness, but just in time for me to ask his question. Why did they go to Billy then? Why didn't they go to high-profile people, maybe
sure.
People that are big in the public and the government and things like that?
It's a very good question. And I'll tell you the answers that we get from Switzerland, from our own thinking, because, first of all, to go to a high-profile person, and I should insert right here, as we do tell in the film, they did send a letter via the investigators to the Carter administration offering contact with the Carter administration, and it was turned down. And I understood why it was, because they were, they're not diplomats. They're very burned down, or as soon as they tried to say anything about it, they'd be whisked off by intelligence people. It'd be pretty tricky. But the real reason they chose Meyer, and this is simply from the information of the case, and I do not ask anybody to believe this. We don't need another belief system. If it's true or not true, maybe some way they will have a way of answering it, but that's why I'm setting this up so you understand, because this is going to be a tricky answer for you. They claim that reincarnation is a fact of life, and that the human spirit, not the soul, but the spirit, reincarnates countless millions of times in the course of evolution. That means we're not going into our light bodies, we're not ascending, the earth isn't going to the fourth dimension, we'll be back, we may not remember it for many incarnations to come, but that's how it works, they claim. And they also claim that they have a technical ability to identify with a person who the past incarnations of that spirit would have been, which they would only do in extreme cases where there was something important, such as a contact person for them for this world. In the case of Meyer, what is said to be the case here is that the spirit that is now inhabiting the personality of Billy Edward Albert Meyer performed this same function on our world 6 times in the past, and did that with names that we will be familiar with all but one of the names, and I'll give you the names. These were the prophets who had the same evolving spirit form that is now supposedly in Billy. Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. Now, Emmanuel, they claim, is the actual name of the man who had been crucified and whose name was changed and a religion formed around him so they could call him Jesus, Jesus Christ, and Christianity was formed around him, that this never in his lifetime was his name, that he survived the crucifixion, that he migrated to India. There's evidence there separately that can be corroborated for a tomb there, that he died when he was well over 100. He did not marry Mary Magdalene. He married an Indian woman. There's a lot of information, and we cover a lot of this in the film, and we show photographs of the alleged tomb sites, and the book has been published of these original writings of Emmanuel. It's called the Talmud Emmanuel. You can see that on our site. And that each time the prophets came, they were tutored by the forefathers of the current-day extraterrestrial Pleiad. And the reason for this was to try to help humanity get onto a right course and to follow what they call the true teaching and laws of creation. But each time in the past, these things got corrupted into religion, where the truth was altered drastically, where gods who were simply the ETs, and some were quite negative at the times in the past, the ETs got worshipped because they represented themselves as gods, so they'd another group would have to bring the prophet in. And, you know, wherever humans are involved, you get this really messed up thing of human trial and error. And my joke about it at this point is, I think this time when they were putting their heads together to find out how to do this for the final time, they said, well, let's make this guy the least charismatic figure that nobody's going to start a religion around. Let's make him a pot-bellied, one-armed, gray-bearded Swiss farmer, you know. And here you have a little Santa Claus-looking Billy Meyer, who basically lives a very reclusive life in his blue jeans and, you know, work shirt up in the hills of Switzerland. But this is the electronic age, and now these true teaching, the same ones, same teaching that was brought many times before, is being delivered to be preserved in its pure form without the corruption of any religion. And this is the story. Mm-hmm.
Well, doesn't that make your job then, you being too successful, a danger? In other words, if every UFO group moved on decided we're going to focus all of our effort on Billy Meyer, and so does every other group, then wouldn't that kind of become the make that danger of the worshiping and creating some religion around this prophet again?
Well,
and is that happening at some extent? Some people talk about that with the groups that live around him.
Well, yeah, let's address that and go to your question. You see, if MUFON and the other groups simply said, let's really examine this thing for what it is and find out, you know, what the truth is, it would make, certainly, I could do other things. I have another film out. It has nothing to do with the Meyer case. I have a lot of things that I like to do, and I love representing the Meyer case because I think it's the most important thing that's ever come into my life. But if there were dozens or hundreds or thousands of other people who were doing similar things of exploration and talking to each other about it, that'd be great, because it's not going to get turned into a religion. Maybe there'll be some people to try it, but it's very firmly in everything that is preserved in the writing that you can find. It's always telling people to not follow, to don't set up the prophet or don't set up the ETs. They're not your gods. They're not your rulers. Their personalities are really not important to this. Here's the information. What's important is that you, dear reader, go into this and figure it out for yourself. Don't believe it. Don't start telling people it's the only truth in the universe. I might run around and say, look, I've proven such and such is true, but that doesn't mean that I know everything. I don't know most of the material in this case. I still don't even know. I can say with clear conviction, it's real. The case is real. Meyer's telling the truth. There are people around him that are trying to disseminate that. I have found them to be pretty non-cultic, although I know that there's a number of my notes, you know, they're very passionate. Some of the people have been involved 25, 30 or more years, and they're passionate about getting the information into the world. A lot of them are German or Austrian, and they carry with them some of those Germanic personality traits. But they're all, you know, just hardworking people. And the least important part to any of those people are the UFOs. many of those people have seen them. They photographed the UFOs. Several of the people have seen the ETs, like they talk about in the film, you know, and it's kind of old news to them. Okay, yeah, I saw the ship. I ran into the force field. I saw the ET over here, you know, whatever. And 17 of these people took lie detector tests back in the late 70s. And as you know from the film, The Silent Revolution of Truth, I brought in an expert in reading body language, a guy who's a consultant to U.S. Army Special Forces, to analyze Meyer. And the only other witness to the ET woman asked at the retired UN diplomat, Po Bo Cheng, and he gives the thumbs up for truthfulness to both of them. So we're looking at something here that is very powerful. It's worthy of everybody's examination. And I don't think, I think that, you know, the idea of a religion starting about it is not right now a big worry, because so many people that do know about it don't allow that to happen. When they see people just saying, "Oh, I believe the Bill," they say, "Well, wait a minute. What are you believing? You know, what do you know? If you know something, if you can say where you cite the evidence, fine. But please, don't tell everybody what you believe. We don't want belief. We're leaving the age of belief. We're going into the age of knowledge, and that means all the people that are passionate about the Meyer material. There's a free forum online. It's linked from my website, where people from all over the world. There's an English language forum. There's a German language forum. There may be one in Spanish or French or Russian, Italian by now. I think Italian for sure. And the people, you know, and they challenge things there. And they discuss it. What is, you know, what do you make of this? What about that? So this is the way it should be, where people are free thinkers, and that's what really what FIGU has to do with, you know, a free interest group of borderline studying borderline science and UFOs, but it has to be free thinking. Mm-hmm. And that way we don't end up with another cult, with another religion, where people are saying, well, Billy Meyer said, and therefore, you know, go drink the Kool-Aid. Oh, goodness. That's the last thing that should happen.
Yeah. So a couple other questions. Then the abduction, you talked about Roswell and these androids that were on the craft. What about the same android-type creature seemingly involved with abducting people?
Right. I have an article, at least on their website somewhere, about the abduction phenomenon. Their position is this. While there have been some what they call either abduction or contact examinations, primarily by rather benign or benevolent, scientifically curious creatures, and there have been some abductions by some pretty ugly types, but not too many, and these happened mainly in the past, the majority of what we're talking about is secret military operation using mind control, using advanced technology, such as are possessed already by the CIA. If you notice in our film, we do discuss the origins of the terrestrial UFOs and the Nazis and all of that as well. These things are done to create fear, to create disinformation, to get people chasing their tails. And it's not that some people haven't had horrendous experiences, but 99% of the chance right now in this day and age is that this is done by nefarious terrestrial forces experimenting with people. And if you read the article, I think you can find it through the search engine or by going into my archived headlines or newsletters, you'll find it in there. And you'll see their reasoning. So rather than my telling you, oh, it's true or not true, it's best to read what they have had to say so that you can see if their thinking makes sense to you or not about this. For me, you know, I happen to concur with that thinking. I think if we really, this whole idea of secret, this is another thing, secret treaties with extraterrestrials. In order to get their technology, they were given permission. Now, right away, we have to get this one straight. If there are extraterrestrials, let's say the most malevolent creatures in the universe, that find this planet and they've gotten here from the depths of space with probably pretty long lifespans and technology well beyond ours, they don't need our permission to do a darn thing. They certainly don't need to sign agreements and to start sending some of their minions to work underneath the hot sands of Area 51, lugging babies around or whatever people think they're doing. There's no reason that they don't need any agreement from us whatsoever. If they have these capabilities, and if they really want genetic material, you know that takes about 5 seconds to obtain with a cotton swab. And while some people may have had genetic material taken as described in some of these encounters, it could have been ET, the rest of the stuff we have to start questioning why we're running all over ourselves with these stories with ET abduction as opposed to these are experiences that people are claiming. And in the Meyer case, they're saying some of this is truly mass hysteria, some of it is dream paralysis, some of it is deliberately, mind control stuff, and there have been surgically altered people made to look like ETs. That this cloning, Meyer personally told me, he says cloning has been going on in your country for over 30 years.
Well, what, and the hybrid thing?
Yeah, he said, they say in there, look, if this was true, you would have, where are all these babies? And first of all, let's go here. Why would any advanced, long-lived, space-traveling race want our screwed-up genetics with every degenerative disease known to us, with shortened lifespans, with emotions that are packed with greed, anxiety, fear, and aggression? This is not prime scientific material, folks. We are not the hot specimens of the universe. We would probably want to have some genetic impedance, material. And if you read what's called Contact 251 on my website, which is linked in there, you'll find it in articles or something. They talk about the real genetic manipulations done to our forefathers, our ancestors, 20-something million years ago, when they shortened our lifespan and when they increased our aggression so that this race of distant ancestors would be warriors for a long-lived race in the Sirius star system, and how that led to much of what goes on this planet today. The information in this case, and let's admit it right up front, we can't prove that. But I'll tell you, they run some pretty interesting stories in there that since the UFO community is big on stories, you might as well read their take on and all this. But
sounds like some interesting stuff. Those are some things where I personally, I don't know, I think there is some, I've worked on some cases where it definitely seems like the hybridization is going on, not to say who or why. But I think you're even pointing out that there are lots of other races other than the Flagellants that are involved with this planet.
Well, there are not so many that are currently involved, if what they're saying is true. Now, they said our planet, yes, it's been visited time and again over the past several million years, but that at this point in time, there are only three other races that are actually in proximity to the planet, and they are only observing. They will make no contact. Their ships are sometimes seen, and when these are ships of ET origin, they belong to these three races, and more than likely the Phoenix Lights, which I thought were probably terrestrial, they said no, that was one of the, more than likely was one of the ET races, or two of them, hovering over Phoenix. And I said, okay, I learned something every day, because I'm tired of everybody claiming everything's ET. What they've said is that there are no ETs on this planet at this point, as in zero, not a one. Nobody down there sweeping up at Area 51. Nobody working on impregnating women with the baby thing, and there's no reptilians on the planet. Now, again, that's somebody's opinion, just as all the ET stuff is only opinion at this point. We do not have, to the best of my knowledge, evidence that there are extraterrestrials here. We can say, well, so-and-so said, and this guy tells a compelling story, but I use the Meyer case as a standard of proof. And unless and until somebody can not only present physical evidence comparable, at least comparable in credibility to the Meyer case, but information of comparable value to humanity, go back to what we said in the beginning, there's got to be a reason. If there are ETs coming here, and if it's true, it behooves every one of us interested in this to shake our brains loose and go, wait a minute, there does have to be a reason. If I, in my kind of in-your-face presentation to people on this, say, look, here's the reason, folks. They're trying to tell us, they've been warning us for some nearly 60 years of terrible things coming by virtue primarily of human behavior and what we could do to avoid most of it. Will we please get off of this benevolent ET contact phenomenon, 2012, abduction, hybrid stuff, Roswell, aliens in 51, that can't give us a drop, in my opinion, of useful information to go by to help us come together as empowered, seeking people that really want to make a difference?
Yeah, I can see that. I think there's some evidence for these other pieces, but we have a caller. Let's see. I think this is someone from the chat, Denichi. Is that you?
Yes, that's me. Hello, guys.
Hello there.
Hi.
Did you have a question?
Yeah, big time fan, Billy. Ever since I got the aliens encounter with the unexplained.
Michael Horn is who this is. So. Does Billy speak English?
I think
Billy speaks some English, yes. Yeah, he speaks some English. He just doesn't feel that he's as fluent enough to say everything that he would say clearly in English.
Yeah.
I've been doing some research lately, just ironic, but him and Von Daniken and some others, and then I was correlating that information from what I was watching I saw in this latest movie called Knowing, and I believe that right now, currently, I just think only a few people get it and the rest don't, and it's quite unfortunate.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And, I mean, you know, obviously from my point of view, it hurts me that people, especially the people that are claim to be passionately interested in this UFO topic and quote-unquote paranormal topic and all, that they are not demanding of their community, of their, you know, leaders or representatives or whatever, that the Meyer case is brought forward and tested and vetted. And that if anybody, because a lot of these people want to say it's a hoax, you have to prove that now. Show the hoax, because I'll tell you, with my eyes closed, standing on one foot, I can whip the skeptics around in circles, not because I'm a genius, but because the evidence, on one hand, and literally on one hand for Meyer, is solid, and on the other hand, none of these people can back up their claims. They've had to retract them. That means
Right. We're
dealing with something of importance here. I'm sorry, you have questions.
Well, it's very clear to me how we can resolve the issue and get immediate action. I mean, just the last political action that the majority of our population had real serious issues with this last administration and some of the laws that they had passed, broken, bend, and we made a change. We voted in a new president with a different type of agenda, which is more progressive, something that's, you know,
right,
more capable of taking some of our issues seriously instead of just detracting from what we want. Okay, so knowing that, why don't we do the same thing with this UFO incidents or these cases? There are people, and myself included, it's the most harshest terms, that having my DNA rewritten. That one was enough for me. I know it happened in the Navy. We've been tracking my blood and the blood of Marines who are still alive today. And there's only one. I didn't like it when I was told that. I don't like having to go to sleep sometimes, and I can't move, and there's lights in my eyes. I know exactly what's going on. But I also don't like to be have it set towards, oh, I have PTSD, and that's the only explainable excuse. When it was done to me, I basically did a workaround. I knew exactly what was taking place. If you want to call it hybridization, experimentation by alien forces, if they're doing it to military members, there is something seriously wrong here, and while we were on duty, that's a matter of national security, and I'm still concerned about it today, and it's not being resolved. Mm-hmm. And as I speak, there are other people in the military who are coming back with similar problems. Genetically, we were one way before we went in, and how is it possible that genetically we're different when we get back?
Well, these are all, you know, powerful questions, and I would say this. First of all, I would say that there are levels of military and probably CIA that are extremely advanced in their weaponry and science. According to Meyer, the Army would be envious of the weapons available to the CIA. And the kinds of things that are done on the citizens, as they were done in Nazi Germany and many other places, they'll be done on people here, and they don't require extraterrestrials to do it. We have to really question this premise that extraterrestrials, per se, are behind this. And, you know, we could go into this in even greater depth, and we could reason our way through it. Let's just put it this way. There are things that are being done to people, and I support 100%. Let's get to the bottom of it. What I'm suggesting here is this, that we have MUFON, we have exopolitics. You know, MUFON in L.A. has been very nice. I've shown the film twice here in L.A. to very, very good receptions. There are people that have been very helpful in MUFON, contrary to what was happening 30 years ago when they were just the enemies of the Meyer case. Exopolitics, I've made no bones about my disagreements with people like Michael Sala, who supports a guy I know to be a fraud. I personally know the guy, so-called Alex Collier, a guy who didn't exist until 1995 or something after he changed his name. But here's the thing. the people in these movements, exopolitics, MUFON, et cetera, should be the ones that demand among themselves and of their figureheads that the Meyer case be made priority. Let's put Michael Horn to sleep here. Let's just shut this up once and for all
right.
and get him out of the way so we can go on with our agenda. Or let's find out, because if the Meyer case is what he's saying, then to heck with Michael Horn. We can take over examining this. We can make our demands on this material. We can find out what's true. We can empower ourselves. It's not a prize for me. It's not an ego game for me.
Correct.
I'm simply a blabbermouth that got excited about it. So it's everybody's gift. That's what we're trying to give it away, literally. Take it. Run with it. But
yeah.
That's my, you know, thing about it.
Yeah, and
right.
I mean, at least as far as the MUFON side of it, many people feel that they've done that. I mean, I wouldn't say, when it comes to MUFON, as you found out, like you're talking with LA, it's a conglomeration of a lot of people and a lot of different ideas and a lot of
sure.
opinions. And, you know, I don't, I am a director and I'm not afraid to say I don't disagree with all of the findings that everybody has found. And that's acceptable. People are fine with that. Stanton doesn't, you know, put much into Corso and his findings. I do. Lots of them don't put much into your case and the Billy Meyer case. I do, and people don't know that, and it's okay, which is great. Like you said, things are a little different than they used to be. Unfortunately, there are some people who are well-respected who feel that they have put this case to bed.
I'd love to know who they are because...
Well, Bruce McAbee, of course.
Oh, he's been shredded. I mean, James Dierdorf shredded McAbee's findings. We have had James Dierdorf and another guy show that Cal Korf manipulated photos and put in lines and things. I mean, you see, if McAbee would do the honorable thing and say, look, I've got this camera, I'm going to show you how Meyer did it. We can't just... allow this kind of thing where some experts say, I have people that can't do it, you know, and I would take on Stanton Friedman
mm-hmm.
and McAbee and a stage full of them, and I will guarantee you, after an hour to two, they are done. And
I would love to see that. And I hope one day I can do something like that. You know, we ran out of a lot of stuff I want to talk about. We're running out of time. I'm really sorry, Michael. And Denici, you were bringing up a lot of stuff.
Yep.
That I wanted to talk about, too. So, and I know Jackal, it looks like he's sharing an opinion. But we'll definitely have to try to get you back where we can address some of these things. I know Denici has some more questions. We'll have you call in. We'll let Jackal get some of his information out there. And we have some more questions where we can get into some of the harder stuff. Because I wanted to ask about some more of these details and things like that. But... I just find the whole case so interesting, and there was so much that you were sharing that I thought was interesting, Michael, that I wanted to let you get that out. But we'll get into some of these other areas. And I've got to say, I appreciate your willingness to stand up there, to take the heat, to answer the questions, and not shy away from these type of things. And I think that's what's helpful is dialogue. We got to be able to talk. We got to be able to disagree, talk about our disagreements amongst each other, and figure it out, you know? So I very much appreciate that you do that.
Well, I thank you very much, and thank you for having me on. And I only will say this one thing about the whole matter. If MUFON, all the rest of the people, will establish standards for proof and test the Meyer case against it and test the other things, that would go a long way to depersonalizing this. It wouldn't be...
Right.
I guess we're out of time, huh?
Well,
yeah. Look, anytime, let's be in touch. Let's do it again. I'd be happy to answer. It's the best of my ability. Anything, any of your calls you want to bring to the table, anything.
All right. Great. Thank you very much. So I'll get back with you, Michael. As far as the show, we're not going to have a show next weekend. The reason is I'm going to be at the Starfest, and no, I'm not going to be dressed up like Han Solo walking around the Earth. I'm actually doing a talk there, and then I have a MUFON table because, of course, sci-fi people are really interested in all this stuff. And, you know, I got to admit, if you saw my Facebook, I was watching BSG. I'm an X-Files fan, so it's a little fun that way, too. So we will not have a show next weekend, so you'll have to come back in 2 weeks. We got a lot of great people lined up for next coming up here. Otherwise, be sure to check out the Denver Paranormal Science Examiner. Don't forget that. For some of you latecomers, that's my new project, and you can read all about the cattle mutilations that we investigated last month. So thank you, Michael. Thank you, everybody, for joining, and you all have a lovely remainder of your weekend.
Thank you.